Welcome to another Happy Health Chat podcast here. You are joined by me, Kezia Hall, and the wonderful Laura Agar Wilson. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about a wonderful Ignite conference that both me and Laura were at the weekend, and just sharing some of the kind of the top insights, bits of wisdom, revelations, whatever you want to call it, that we got from that weekend. So it's going to be super fun. But before we dive into that, Laura, how are you doing? How, as they say in Scotland, how the chuff are you?
I haven't heard that one for ages.
No, my friend started saying it to me. I was like, that's hilarious.
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very, very well, especially after seeing you in the 3D flesh.
Yeah,
at the weekend when we were at Ignite, and I kind of feel like I'm probably talking about this too much about my new house and about the move.
No,
I mention it in every newsletter. I mention it. It's like this is all that's in my life at the moment is this bloody house. But we move in on Saturday, so you're probably be listening to this and we will have moved in. But as we record this, we're moving to the new house on Saturday. Yesterday we had lovely carpets put down. So now it feels like a real actual house and not just a building site with wooden dusty floors. So that's a big thing for me at the moment. It is a really, really massive thing for me because, like, I've been living at my mum and dad's for the last 6 months. And it's just not, I mean, it's lovely. They're really, really lovely and but it's just not our own space, and it's been a bit of a challenge to say the least. So going to my new house, and I've got this insanely ginormous fridge freezer now, which is just heaven.
Amazing.
It's like total, like, that was like one of my goals in life, was to have this amazing fridge freezer, and now I've got one. And it's just going to be such a massive difference. So I'm really excited about that. So that's just a huge thing. And then other than that, I am writing another book. I don't know whether or not I've spoke about this on the podcast, but I've been asked by another publisher to write a book. So I probably better not say too much about it in case I get it wrong. But it's a bit different from Grains as Mains, which I did the last time. It's a different publisher to DK, and it's a really, I think it'll be up like everyone's street who listens to this. I think they'll really enjoy the topic of it. So it's going to be really, really good. So that's quite intense though, because I've got to write the full book, and it's going to be quite a chunky book, and it's got to be written by kind of the first week in May. So it's a lot of stuff to do. So it's going to be pretty full on, but it's very exciting. So I'm looking forward to finishing that and getting that done. And that's kind of where things are at the moment. House and book is like, yeah. And then I'm going to squeeze myself in there somewhere, because I think one of the things I'm really looking forward to about moving is being closer to my gym and having a bit more control over what food is in the house, what food I put into my mouth, how active I am, and all of that kind of stuff. So I think that's something I'll be talking about on the blog over the next few weeks. It's probably just like getting back into those habits that I've never really taken hold actually since before I had Finley. I feel like I just haven't had the momentum to get those things in place the way that I want them to be in place. So I feel like now that we're going to be settled, that they should start happening. So I'm very excited about that as well.
That is exciting. But yeah, I'd say house book and you.
House book and me. That's pretty much, yeah, that sounds, I like the sound of that.
That's a full plate.
It is. It is. And how about you, Kezia? What have you got going on at the moment?
I am just trying to think. So a bunch of exciting things. It feels, and actually I'm not sure I've talked about this on the podcast. I'm going away for 2 months pretty much to travel kind of around the world and have some adventures. So I'm kind of calling it a sabbatical a bit with my tribe when I've communicated with them. But I've not talked about it that much, but I'm basically going away to kind of Southeast Asia and Australia and a few other places for about 10 weeks as of the start of May, which is super exciting. Yeah. But that means up until then, there's quite a lot of stuff that I'm just trying to get on with and launch in terms of business stuff and house things as well, get stuff in the house sorted. But that is really, really exciting. I'm not very organized with that yet. We like have our flights booked and that's about it. But that is a bit of a dream come true. And I wasn't too sure if it would actually happen, because it's never a good time to disappear for 10 weeks, mm-hmm. really, in terms of life, business, finance. It's never a good time to do that. But that is very exciting. So that's been happening. And then in other areas, it's mainly just been kind of plodding on with some more business stuff and working on another ebook that I'm hoping to bring out in April. That's the plan there. And I've just sort of rejigged my Flourish program, which I'll be relaunching as this goes live, it will be live. So I've just been kind of a bit doing like version 2.0 of that, which has been really, really fun. And it's funny, I was rereading my ebook that I wrote to go with part of that, and it's been a while since I read it. I was reading it yesterday. I was like, this is really good. Like, you know, you're learning yourself. I was like,
well, that's a theme we'll come on to, I think, shortly as well.
I was like, I need to take action on that. Kezia, listen to your own advice.
Yeah.
But that's actually been quite encouraging, because I think I find all stuff around business actually and producing products or business activity often quite vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I thought that would maybe change the more that I do it, but I don't think it does. But I'm just kind of learning to embrace it a bit more. Like, I've been reading a great book called Daring Greatly by Brené Brown, when she just talks about why vulnerability is really important. And I think I'm only on like chapter 3, but already I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, you just feel it kind of enter in your heart or your soul or whatever. And another more boring news, I rejoined the gym last week as well. I've been on a gym hiatus for probably like 4 months. Because for those of you that follow my blog, my adrenals, I think, haven't been great and are still, to be honest, not tip-top. So I'm just waiting on some lab test results to come back of where my cortisol's at. Mm-hmm. It's all a bit boring, but anyway. But I was just really missing going to the gym, and my morning routine was a bit messed up. I used to just get up, go to the gym, come back, have breakfast, get done. And not every single day. I would do that maybe twice a week or something. But I just thought, hey, I'm just going to rejoin it. And I've actually been totally loving it. Just doing like half an hour of MetaFit in the morning, maybe some weights if I can be asked. Come home I'm not great at having a routine with exercise, but I've been finding that as my schedule's been getting busier, to be really liberating to not have to think, just have a routine. You just go through that. So that's my boring but exciting news.
Very good. No, very interesting.
Which has been fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think kind of what a lot of the stuff that we've kind of almost touched on there is going to link back to what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. So basically, we thought a good topic for today would be talk about some of the stuff that we both attended the Ignite event, which was held in London this last weekend. So that was the 12th of March, and it was hosted by, well, it's held by Hay House Publishers. So they're a fantastic, if you're not familiar with Hay House, a brilliant publishing house, and they tend to publish books around the health, well-being and spirituality kind of slant. I think that's fair enough way to say. So they had some amazing speakers, some who we knew beforehand, some who we didn't, some who were really in good surprises, some who didn't quite live up to our expectations, I think it's fair to say, for some people. And it kind of, but overall, like, really, really amazing. I think everyone kind of agreed on that. But we really got, I think after, you know, we spoke just before we started the podcast now, we were just speaking and talking about some of the stuff that we took away from that. And actually, we took away a lot, like each of us, like both of us individually took away a lot of information, a lot of really practical stuff that we can actually implement in our lives. And we thought it would be a good idea to talk about some of that on the podcast, just so we could share some of that with you as well. Because there's a lot of really good stuff there, isn't there?
Yeah.
That we covered.
There was a lot. Like, I've just got my notes in front of me now and being like, wow, geez, where do you begin?
how should we do it? Should we go through each speaker, or should we?
There were six speakers, wasn't there?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe go with the sessions, our two sessions that we got most, like, struck as most.
Okay.
Although, which is actually hard.
Yes, I was going to say that.
It's really hard. Although, I suppose probably, because one of the main speakers that was there was Chris Carr, who, if you don't know who Chris Carr is, just check her out, chriscarr.com, fabulous. Her story's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so she was kind of, I suppose, maybe the ending speaker or the keynote speaker or something. So we could maybe... talk about her at the end, because I imagine that was definitely a highlight. Yeah. And she talked for a long time and had loads of great stuff to say. So maybe pre-Chris Carr. Because I found...
Should we talk about Rebecca Campbell to start
off? Oh, yeah.
I think she was really good. And I mean, this is the woman who had us, the whole auditorium, dancing to I'm coming up. Is that one? I can't believe I've just sang on the podcast, but we were all singing to I'm Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet, which was the kind of part of her speech. But so if anyone's not familiar with Rebecca, Rebecca Campbell is the author of Light is the New Black, which I think I've mentioned on this podcast before. It's, I read it towards the back end of last year and I really enjoyed it. It's kind of a little bit of Rebecca's story, the book, and a little bit just kind of around being what she calls a light worker. And she kind of, I mean, she talks a lot, didn't she, in her talk about how we're coming into an age now where kind of a lot of people like us who are perhaps a bit more spiritual and a bit woo-woo are kind of needed in the world. And that's kind of what she was saying, wasn't it? And about that now's the time to come out of the spiritual closet and to shine your light really, really brightly and to just kind of step up and be who you are, kind of thing. Well, that was kind of what she was saying. And there were some lovely kind of things what she was talking about, just giving yourself permission to be held, which I thought was really, and just to let kind of the universe just hold you and just to have that kind of trust and not to always be, and I think she spoke about something that I could relate to, is about where you feel like you have to just be pushing all of the time and have all that pressure and it's like doing this, and it's really, you know, it's all that kind of, the energy's really like, you know, kind of pushing you and pressure and stuff. And she talked about just being able to just let yourself just be held and just allow the universe to come up and meet you. So I don't know what your thoughts were on that, Kezia.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really, really interesting. I hadn't actually heard that much from Rebecca Campbell other than, you know, what I'd heard from Laura. She said definitely recommended the book. And I really loved, I came away with a couple of things that were really helpful. Like kind of Laura was saying, this idea of being held. And she talked, I think it was a phrase Rebecca used of, you know, surrender. It's about surrendering to a force bigger than yourself and just kind of letting go. And she talks about this experience where she just ended up kind of on her knees, just at kind of a bit of a crisis point, kind of down on her knees, praying for the first time and just surrendering to this force that was bigger than she was. And I just thought that was so beautiful, and that really resonated with me, actually, this idea of we can just keep on going and going and be on a hamster wheel and feel like we have to sort everything out and responsibilities all on us, that we're alone sometimes, that we, you know, we've just got to be super independent all the time. And actually this idea of actually, you know, I'm held by something, and that just brings such a sense of security and peace, and it's not all about me, I don't need to be all sorted. And and you could tell with her speaking that she lives that, and so that was really I believe a lot in, some people call it impartation, some people call it transference, but I think there is something really amazing that can happen in the transfer of what people are carrying in their spirits can kind of come onto you. And I really felt like, I was like, oh, yeah, you do. Like, we can surrender. We don't need to have this all sorted. We are held. And I just, and that's really stuck with me and been something I've been meditating on, of just, I'm held. And like, It makes me feel emotional even now. I'm just like, there's something so beautiful to that. And so that, I really love that. And I think there was another phrase that she talked about. I think this was Rebecca that she said, cause she's come from, her story was come very corporate advertising background to then kind of having this spiritual awakening or kind of reconnecting to who she really was all along. And she talked about, working, not from pressure, but for pleasure. That really resonated. I was like,
I remember that now. Actually, that's came back to me, because I think often, and especially if anyone's listening who does anything similar to what Kezia and I do in terms of being health coaches or running online businesses, there's a lot of talk about, you know, you need to be, you know, really
hustle.
Well, you need to hustle, and you need to be led by what your tribe, what your people kind of want and need and stuff. And that's sometimes that's something I've kind of thought, you know, well, am I creating things that people like want and need and stuff? But actually, I think there's a lot to be said about allowing yourself to actually create what you is in you and not worry too much about whether or not people are going to buy it or what they're going to do with it, because sometimes just allowing that to happen is enough to make it something that people are going to want. I think there's something there about just trusting that process a little bit, and that really helped me, because a lot of the time I think, you know what, like at the moment I really want to create something about self-care. That's something I really want to do. I really want to create an ebook or a mini course or something around self-care, but then I wonder, you know, is that something that people are going to want, da, 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 da. And you go through this whole thing. But then I think what Rebecca kind of said there was sometimes you've just got to like let it come through you, and yeah. And that sometimes is enough, you know, you're just going to kind of let that go. So, yeah, it was she was really, really interesting. I think she just kind of set the day off in a really, really good vibe, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. She really helped create just this space-free atmosphere. And she was just, you could just tell she was really living a lot of what she was kind of talking about. And she did. She really did. She set it off in an amazing way. And I think I definitely will keep connected with the stuff that she is doing. And we definitely go to hear her speak again. I thought she was really fast, which was good. And then I think, was it next? Was Sandy next?
Yes, it was Sandy next. I think we should talk about Sandy, because I think
he was definitely a highlight. Yeah.
So the next guy who was up on the date is Sandy Newbegin. Or Newbegin, because I would say Newbegin, because I know Newbegin by the same, but it's not that. Sorry, but I'm just being totally random now. But Sandy Newbegin, so, he was a real, like, because I'd never heard of him before, conference, so I didn't have any expectations in terms of what he would talk about, but actually I probably found his one of the best talks other than Chris, because he just, what he was saying was so useful, some of the little takeaways that he had. So I think, I suppose one of the main things that he came out with was a bit about kind of, it was kind of around like unhappiness and expectations and anxiety and stuff, wasn't it? And he basically said it's when like what you want to happen is in conflict with what actually just happened. That's when like all those kind of weird, when all of those kind of negative feelings come up. And so he talked about the being like looking for that kind of conflict, like where's the conflict when you're feeling, you know, when you're not feeling right. Is that kind of, am I right, Kezia? Because I'm trying to recall
I'm looking at my notes here. No, because he talked a lot, actually. I think I wrote quite a lot of different things. But he does this idea of the experience we're having is actually a communication to us of conflict. So he gave a story of someone who had a sore knee. And so that sore knee is an experience or fruit of this inner conflict of and needing to address basically that inner conflict. He explained it in a kind of a much clearer way.
He talked about, I think the example that he gave, because I said this to my mum and dad actually, and he said like, he would ask people just to talk about like a symptom or something that they had, or to talk about an illness or something they were experiencing in different ways. So you've got like what it is, you know, how it feels. So it might be pain, you know, like where it is. But then he asked like, how does it feel to have it? And and this is where people started, like there was someone else who we met at the event, one of my friends, Kat, who I met lots of years ago, but bumped into her, funny enough. And she said that she had a certain pain somewhere and that she kind of connected it to this feeling. And then I was thinking of a illness that I had last year, like a minor illness, and how it made me feel. And the word that came out, I was really shocked because I could relate it straight back. So I was suffering from a UTI. It was really horrible. And it wasn't going away. Nothing I was doing was making it go away. And actually the first word that came out of my mouth when I thought, how did that make me feel? It was helpless. And I'm really shocked myself when that came out. And then I remember how I felt with what we were going through at the same time. It was with the flat, that the flat wouldn't sell, and I felt helpless. So what he's saying is look and see if there's stuff going on in your life, and that there's a correlation basically between stuff that you're feeling, stuff that's going on in your life, and possibly external things. And how they make you feel, if that makes sense.
No, that does. And then he was talking about once you know this, once you can do that and identify this conflict, it's then an invitation to bring in virtues from God or from the universe or, you know, whatever, you know, however you want to, whatever language you want to use to describe that. And he was talking about how we, there's, how we get to embody these amazing virtues when you remove mm-hmm. that conflict of peace or joy or whatever it is. And he didn't dive into that much, but he did touch on it really briefly of just this in, it's almost an in, if you reframe it, it's an invitation to kind of embody these divine attributes or how, you know, there's different language that you can use around that. And I was like, oh, actually that's so true, actually, thinking about, okay, what am I being invited to embody? What am I being invited to experience? What is kind of, and it's often the opposite, you know, feeling angry about something, it might be because there's a different kind of virtue that we can embody. So that, I feel like a lot of his stuff, my brain still sort of needs to like whirl around it and unconsciously process it and kind of just figure out. But
I'm going to get his books, actually. I've got them on Amazon. I'm on an Amazon wish list now. But his books are, I'm just going to check my wish list. I think it's Body Calm and Mind Calm. But I am going to just double check.
Yeah, no, I think it is Body Calm.
Mind Calm. Yeah, Mind Calm and Body Calm. And I would definitely, I mean, I haven't read the books yet, but going off of his talk, I think they'll be very, very interesting. I mean, something that stuck with me from what he said was that is to think of like thoughts and emotions like in your head like birds, like your mind's a sky, and thoughts and emotions are the birds. And that was and because I think part of that is kind of saying you are not your thoughts or emotions, that they're actually something that you can observe. And I think just putting them into that kind of context is really interesting as well. So that was a big thing that stuck with me. That was one of the things that I noted down. And I think one of the takeaways that a lot of people kind of wrote down from his speech was that he says that freedom is the willingness to experience anything or experience everything, however you want to view it. And I think what he was saying is that basically whenever we feel negative emotions like anger, resentment, anxiety and all that kind of stuff, it's because our relationship, because we've got an attachment to a outcome, and the outcome is in conflict with our experience or our wish for that outcome. And he gave a good example, didn't he, where he was driving it was his mother's birthday, and he had to drive out. She wanted to go to this restaurant outside of Edinburgh, and he had to drive to it. And he was kind of getting really angry, and he had to kind of do his own work on himself. And he kind of realised that he was feeling, that he kind of followed the emotion down, didn't he? And he realised that, what was it that he said? I think there was something that his mother didn't love him enough to come into Edinburgh, something that he came out with. Yeah. That was kind of like, you know, where he had followed the kind of path of his emotions and feelings, looking at the kind of like the resistance and the attachment that he had to the outcome of what it meant and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think we're doing a lot of justice to what he spoke, because it's coming out in a kind of fragmented bits.
No, because he explained it quite clearly.
He explained actually it very, very complex. Clearly. Yeah. And I think I really want to go back to his books actually now, and and hopefully he's written that down in a nice kind of clear way, like what he spoke about. I think if anything's to kind of take away from what we're talking about now, to try and make it make sense for you, I think the freedom is the experience freedom is the willingness to experience anything. And I've heard a similar kind of thing said in different ways, like different Buddhist teachings and things like that. But I think it's basically, we like likened it to sitting in traffic. You can sit in traffic and you'd be like, oh my God, I'm sick of sitting in this effing traffic. I'm going to be 10 minutes late, girl. Or you can just sit and be like, right, I'm just going to experience this without any conflict as to what, you know. And it's, I think it's about having that kind of thing where, you know, you've just got that attitude where I'm just going to experience whatever life gives me. I'm going to just experience it. And he talked about his Buddhist teacher, you know, he's asking his Buddhist teacher, because he was a Buddhist monk, wasn't he, or something he was saying.
Yeah, for 6 months, he meditated for 6 months or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and he said that monk said, because he was, what's the purpose of life? And the monk says, the purpose of life is to live it. Or something like that, isn't it? And it was just like, totally. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, I think what he said is that the freedom is the willingness to experience anything is actually a really good way to view it, because, you know, we're getting thrown all of these different things in our lives, and sometimes you just got to kind of live it. And even the really, really hard stuff.
And that suggests this idea as well, when like when, with all the other things, we don't know all the circumstances of life, but freedom is when your sense of self and contentment and peace it's not moved mm-hmm. by all these different things. Obviously it's going to be affected because we're not like robots, you know, mm-hmm. crap happens and it does affect us, but there's a foundation of this freedom that we live from that. And I think that was really interesting and mm-hmm. really powerful. Mm-hmm. Definitely check him out. He's also got a website called The Calm Clan, I think.
Yeah.
So calmclan.com, which was really good. And then I'm just looking at my other notes, and I think the rest of my notes, I think I must have stopped taking them until Chris Carr came.
I mean, I think one person I wouldn't mind talking about is Hiya Selfie.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I absolutely love those girls. And I know a few people who know them, like, as, like, really good friends. So I'm totally wanting to get in on that because I think they're really, really cool. So it's Lucy Sheridan and Joe Westwood, I think they're called. And they are Hiya Selfie. And they're just really, like, funky, kind of, like, 20-somethings kind of taking that, like, bringing spirituality, I think, to that kind of, I think they call it, the millennials.
Yeah.
Which I had to Google last night because I didn't know whether or not I was a millennial, and apparently I am.
Oh, what makes you a millennial?
Because apparently it's people born after or in 1982, and I was born in 1982. So apparently that was when, like,
oh.
According to Wikipedia, apparently.
Yeah.
But I thought I was too old. I was like, oh, I'm too old to be a millennial.
Oh, yeah, because I thought you maybe needed to be born in the 2000s.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But apparently, like, people coming of age around the 2000s is a millennial.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently, according to Google, according to Wikipedia. But anyway. So yeah, so I've really got a soft spot for Hiya Selfie. I think they're so current, and I think a lot of what they talk about is really, like, it's certainly affecting me on like a, you know, on a level that's kind of like every kind of week something, you know, so I'm dealing with something like that they would talk about. Yeah. So they talk a lot about social media and comparison, which is I've just written a blog post about that today, actually. In my, like, do what you love kind of column that I try and do once a month, and they talked about like Jo was saying, like, she needs to, like, not have, like, it's stuff that triggers her, like other people doing so well and other people doing, you know, great things, and like leaves her feeling like crap, which we had a big discussion, didn't we, Kezia and I and some other people who we were there with, some other fabulous women, and we were talking about how it's kind of quite hard sometimes because everything is, like, there's so much visibility to stuff online, so you get to see, like, what everyone's doing, and sometimes, and more often than not, you kind of see people, and it's just, like, it just makes you kind of shrink and feel, oh my God, I'm not good enough, how can I ever live up to, why would anyone ever want to, you know, read my blog or buy anything off me when, like, this other person's there looking like a model, you know, yes. like, with, like, 6 books and da, 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 and it just kind of, and it's nothing, and what I keep saying, it's nothing to do with them, it's not about disliking that person or anything along those lines, it's just that it invokes a response in you that is negative or makes you feel crap, so, and they kind of talk about that, and I think it's a really important conversation to be having, not just for people who are in the kind of, who are doing business online, but it kind of filters down to everything, you know, it filters down, body image is a huge one.
Yeah.
Just like living your life, do you know what I mean? Like parenting. There's like, you know, you get like the perfect mothers and it's like, it's everything, do you know what I mean? So I think that what they talk about is really, really relevant. They also talked about not being the only woo in the village, which I always thought was hilarious.
Yes, that's a great phrase.
So if anyone's not come across it, there's like, and it's something I've only really started seeing kind of like recently, is that people who are into like spirituality and manifesting and the law of attraction and all that kind of stuff are called woo-woos. And I don't think it depends whether or not you know, that you're into another religion or anything, because I think what is great about this kind of form of spirituality is it can be applied to any religion anyway, because ultimately we know that like God is just the same thing really for most people. So in so-called woo-woos, and that they were basically talking about going out there and finding your tribe and stuff, and I really loved that they were, you know, talking about going out there and finding people who are on your level, whether that's like other people who live near you or whether that's online. And you know, one of the best things I've done in 2016 is creating my Facebook group, so that there's the Wholeheartedly Healthy Facebook group, and I really feel like that's my tribe, that's my people, and I think the girls in there feel the same way as well. I really enjoy it and everything. But, you know, they were talking about that, and I just thought it was so funny, the idea of, like, they're talking about going to Village Hall and put up a poster, you know, Crystal Reading's here and connect with all the other woos in the village.
I know, because we need, I think it was a lot of what they were talking about, this idea of community and support and doing it together. And I can't remember who said it. I don't know if it was Chris Carr, if it was those, but this, and they'd stolen it from someone else, but the idea that disease is about the eye, and, you know, there's an eye in disease, was wellness, there's a we in disease, and in terms of, like, we together, and that's kind of like a cheesy phrase, but it did really resonate. And just, and I think it is so important that you are in community with people that you feel seen by and you feel known by, and you're not having to hide, like, you're not having to be like, oh, well, I think this, or I prayed this and this happened, and there needs to be that freedom for you just to be who you freaking are and celebrate that and rock it. And I loved what they shared a little bit about, like, they got people in the session to do a bit of a newsfeed detox in terms of who do you need to remove from your newsfeed. And I've done that before on Instagram especially. But I was like, oh, actually, I probably could do with taking that to another level. Because I think, can't remember what's the quote by, but there's a quote that I'm going to not do justice to. But it's basically about, you know, we're responsible for what we see and what we absorb and what influences us. And especially with social media, like, if you're forever seeing some body beach program workout where it's people, you know, pictures of them actually looking fine and then looking super skinny, and that's not helping you, then you just don't have to follow that. That's totally, and that really helped me. I was like, oh yeah, when I needed to up my non-comparison game of just like, okay, who's going to inspire me? And like Laura said, we chatted about this while we were getting a coffee. We were like, it's got nothing to do with the other person, actually. And we actually bless them. We wish them well. Yeah. We hope they succeed. We think their work is amazing. It just, this is about us. And this, you know, it's not helping us. So I'm going to remove them out of my sphere, you know, that influences me. And I'm going to choose strategically who is going to have an influence over my life. So, yeah, no, I'm glad we talked about them. I'd never heard of them before.
Yeah, they're absolutely great. And I mean, another thing that they said, where was my little notes? They talked, I think they kind of asked us all, didn't they, to put something out on social media with the don't wait for it, create it hashtag.
Yes.
And the idea that, like, just create it, just do it, just. And again, that was something I took away from the whole event, was just this kind of, like, just do it. If you've got an idea, just do it. Just do it. Just create it. Just go it out there. Just put it out there. And what's the worst that could happen? Do you know what I mean? And just do that. Yeah. So, they were really awesome. So do check them out. So that's, I think they're at hireselfie.co.
Yeah.
If you want to check them out. And they've got a book that, I think it's coming out on the 5th of April, according to Amazon. Yeah. So do check them out. And then there was, of course, the lovely Chris Carr, who just absolutely blew me away completely. I mean, I followed Chris Carr for a long, lot, like, many, many years now. I think I bought her Crazy Sexy Diet. God, it must be going back about 4 or 5 years, I think. So a long time ago. And I'm honoured that I had one of my green smoothie recipes and I think it was our first ebook that she released, which was like Crazy Sexy Juices and Smoothies. So I had one of my recipes in that, which was amazing. So, and that's kind of, I don't know, because I didn't relate to the vegan message that Chris is vegan. She's very kind of anti cruelty and stuff in her message. But although that was kind of came across in a kind of a new way for me when she spoke, but I'd kind of disengaged a little bit with Chris's stuff, I think, because I was no longer vegan, and perhaps I didn't feel that she had anything, you know, that anything that was relevant for me anymore. But I could not have been more wrong, I think, when I heard her speak. So her kind of background is very much like in the kind of wellness, and I think she has been known for being vegan and championing that kind of diet. But I think what she's done over the last few years is really start to talk about more of the title of the talk, which I keep saying to myself, is say yes to your crazy sexy life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she would say it in a lovely accent, like, say yes to your crazy sexy life. And it was like, yeah I'm going to say yes to my crazy sexy life, Chris. And she just said so many things, didn't she? I mean, do you want to start?
She was fabulous, because I think I've not known about her for as long. I think I came across her probably like 2 years ago. And then last year I did, she does a program alongside B School, which is like an online business thing. So I was kind of in a mastermind thing with her. And I was a bit, unsure whether I should go in because I'm not a vegan and, I wondered if I might get hounded for that. Mm-hmm. But it was just a really great environment. And I think I took away just, from that session, she talked a lot about being your own best friend.
Yeah, she did, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, and I think that is something really that really struck me. I'm like, oh, am I being my own best friend? And am I giving permission for that to happen? Am I investing in this relationship of me, mm-hmm. my body, my spirit, my physicality, my energy, my dreams, my desires? Am I investing in that? And am I giving myself permission to do that? And I think that really struck a lot, a big chord with me of like, oh, mm-hmm. and this, and she again talked about this whole idea of community and support, and just her whole approach was just very nourishing and nurturing, and this freedom of, and actually she focused a lot on what we all agree with, which is, you know, eating more plant-based foods
yeah.
is really good for you. And that, I love that message. I think so often people get really blocked by a paleo tag, a mm-hmm. real food tag, a vegan tag. Are you gluten free? Are you what? And I'm like,
yeah.
Really, why do we spend time talking about what we disagree with? Let's just not bother talking about that and talk about what do we all agree with?
Yeah.
Oh, we all agree eating more plant-based food and vegetables is going to do you good. Great.
Exactly. Yeah. And she kind of just said it really, you know, just that's it. That, you know, that's all it needs to be, and just to kind of see that, you know, that the common ground that we've all got. And I think there was a big emphasis in her talk on self-care, which I loved, and I took away a lot out of that. And you know, she was kind of talking about self-care isn't just about you. Actually, when you take care of yourself, you're actually giving other permission to other people, for other people to do that as well. You know, and it was just in that self-care is about us rather than just about yourself. And I found that really, really inspiring. And she talked about kind of acceptance, and something that's been said to me before as well, because I talk a lot about acceptance and accepting who you are now. And people have said, oh, well, isn't that negative? Isn't that about, you know, that you shouldn't strive to be more? And it's like, it's not. And she kind of said the same thing. It's a completely different thing. It's about accepting. You can totally accept who you are and still want to be the best version of yourself. It doesn't have to be this horrible negative thing. And I really like that she said that. And she said that it was okay to wear sweatpants all day long.
Yes, every day. She did. I was like,
thanks. Yeah, it's right. Like, thanks. Not that I needed any permission to do that, like, but
it's good to say that. It's good to know you're not the only one.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the biggest thing that I took away from Chris's talk was that she said that it's okay to teach what you need to learn, and she said that she teaches what she needs to learn. And I think as a coach, I think I put this in my newsletter at the weekend, and as a coach, you kind of feel that there is this pressure for you to have it all figured out and for you to be perfect before you can help anyone else.
Yeah.
When actually, it just doesn't have to be that way at all. You know, there's nothing wrong with teaching what you learn, and I think that's something that I've always done. I've always talked on the blog about what I'm going through and what I'm learning, and I've always been that vulnerable, to kind of bring it back to the vulnerability stuff. And it was just nice to see someone like Chris Carr, who's like a wellness superstar. She is like she's like the Julia Roberts of the wellness world or something. Do you know what I mean? She's like that kind of. So to hear someone like her saying that, I think it was just really, for me, like on a personal level, I found that really inspiring and motivating.
Yeah.
For me. But she was very funny as well, wasn't she? And
yeah, she was. She was a great, great all-round speaker and delivery of things. And so so I think both me and Laura definitely feel very full.
Yeah.
A couple of the takeaway points could be, obviously, we've talked a lot about kind of self-care, becoming your own best friend, and figuring what that looks like for you. And I think mm-hmm. on kind of both our blogs, we have more on that for you if you want to explore a bit more of what that means and what that looks like. But also the idea of, I think, also investing in you, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, you know, we both went down to London, that cost money, we both paid for a conference, that cost money, and that, I think, whatever that looks like for you, whether that's like a Pilates retreat, whether that's like the retreat that me and Laura are doing, whether that's, you know, having a session with a personal trainer or paying someone to babysit for a Saturday morning, yeah, so that you can actually have, like, you know, a couple of hours to yourself, whatever it is, actually taking, you know, investing in who you are and what's going to fill you up and allow you to be strong and in an area of love and strength and embody all these amazing things that we've been talking about. And I think that is a really kind of overarching key message that's always going to help your health, the way you eat, tons of stuff. It just makes a massive impact.
And I think, again, that's kind of another thing that came up for me of the day, was that just this kind of just reinforcing, and I mean, this is my belief, and I've got it written all over my website, is that it's like health and well-being is not just what you eat and what you wear and how you exercise. It is everything. And I think Chris broke it down into like what you eat, what you drink, and what, and your thoughts. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that how you said it?
Eating, drinking, thinking.
Eating, drinking, thinking. So it's that just reinforced to me that it's like, you know, you can be doing one thing well, but if you're not doing one of the other things well, then it's, you know, you're not reaching your full potential, I think. So I just found it, really, really good to think of that. So hopefully our ramblings will have made some sense to you. But what we'll do is in the, on the, should we say show notes? I feel like I should say like show notes in a really like kind of posh voice, because because you've both been listening to a lot more podcasts recently. And they always say in the show notes.
Check it out on the show.
I will link to that in the show notes. So it's like, we'll link to all those people in the show notes.
Yeah, we will. All the different people in our show notes. And we're working on getting a jingle as well.
Yeah.
This is getting well profesh.
Yeah, it's only taken us like a year. A year and a bit. A year and a half.
I know, it's true. But yeah, no, so make sure if you do have any other questions about anything we've talked at, then you can find Laura or myself on our blogs, on Twitter, on, you know, just all the usual social media platforms. Or we also have it at Happy Health Chat Twitter handle and Facebook page. So you can leave any questions that you have on there. Make sure you join both mine and Laura's emailing lists. They're both great.
And you get loads of free stuff.
Yeah, tons of free stuff.
Tons of free stuff.
Yep, to actually help you transform and make some changes at last and invest in you.
And we need to mention as well something that we're doing in September.
Yes, we do.
that's quite huge.
Yeah, we are running our first live 3-day retreat.
Yes.
Which is going to be a fabulous, luxury, fun, transformational event, filled with delicious food that we're going to be making to help your bodies detoxify but also taste awesome. We're going to be doing some coaching, workshops, sessions. There's
yoga.
Yoga. There's a sauna. It's going to be, I'm super excited for this. And we've got some great bunch of people signed up to do it already. But there is a couple of slots left. And I just think there's something so powerful about doing something live. And again, taking that investment, you know, you take a step out and the universe or God or whatever meets you, meets you halfway. And also it's going to be such a laugh.
It is. It's self-care at the highest level. It's going to be an absolute amazing 3 days. You can find out more if you go to wholeheartedlyhealthy.com/retreat. You can find out a bit more and you can also book your place. There's a £150 deposit and then there's a payment plan afterwards. So it's really affordable. It's a long-term, a payment plan over the next few months. So we are trying to make it, you know, as easy to pay for that over time as possible. But it's going to be such an amazing experience and we really don't want anyone to miss out. So if you are interested, check that out. You can feel free to email either of us. I'm Laura@wholeheartedlyhealthy.com and Kezia is Kezia@supernaturallyhealthy.org. So do feel free to contact us if you've got any questions about the retreat. But it's going to be amazing and we'd love to have you join us.
Definitely.
So we hope we found that interesting.
And we will. Yeah, and we'll be, make sure you subscribe to our iTunes channel, and we'd love it if you left a review and gave us 5 stars so that more people could find out and get a bit more happy health chat into their lives and days.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we shall see you very soon for another episode of Happy Health Chat.
We shall. See you later.
Bye.